It can be very easy for us to be so focused on immediate happiness that we can get from things, material things of this world, that we can easily forget about the joy that awaits us in heaven. We can look at all the different things, whether it is having stuff or having the different honors, accolades, different things in this time of being happy and comfortable in this life. We can forget about how we can do different things to prepare ourselves for heaven, to get ready for the joys of heaven. Really, when we are focusing on just on these things of this world, it's like we are chasing shadows. And shadows of things that we want. We forget that what we want is the actual physical thing that we can touch, that we can have. We're just, again, chasing shadows. The shadows of what it is that we really want. In our first reading today from the second book of Maccabees, we hear about these seven brothers who have been arrested and are being tortured to try to change their faith. In both the books of Maccabees, we hear about a time of persecution for the Jews. The Greeks have taken over, spreading their influence throughout the Mediterranean region. And they're trying to get all peoples, including the Jewish people, to change their religion, change what they believe, all their practices, all their culture, to match the Greek culture, the Greek religion. But there was a small group of Jewish people who resisted, said, no, we've made a covenant with God. We need to follow what God has told us to do. And so they resisted. And we hear about these seven brothers that are part of that group that avoid even eating pork, which was an unclean food for the Jewish people, refusing to sacrifice for the Greek gods and doing other things that were considered wrong for the Jewish people to do. And so they are tortured, try to get them to do those things, do those things of the Greeks. But we hear of their great faith. These seven brothers understood that there was something greater than just the comforts, the accolades that they would receive for doing that wrong thing. You know, that who knows what they were promised. Maybe they were told, well, you'll receive riches, you'll receive tribute, you'll receive the support of your family and friends if you just do these small things. You don't have to enjoy it. You don't have to really believe. Just do these things and you will receive our thanks and you will live. These seven brothers knew there was something better than that to look forward to in life everlasting. So they even talk about that they know that there is eternal life and that those men who were trying to force them into it weren't going to see it. But they believe they would. That's what we Christians call heaven. Life with God. These men understood that and they... Ironically, they understand it better than the leaders of the Jewish people, the Sadducees that we hear about in the Gospel. The Sadducees, as is explained in the Gospel, did not believe in the resurrection. They tried to teach that there was no resurrection. The Pharisees, on the other hand, believed in the resurrection. Now, Jesus, of course, believes in a resurrection. He's going to experience it. And so he's actually part of the Pharisees, even though he argued with them in a lot of other stories in the Gospel. But now the Sadducees are trying to trick Jesus. Both the Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to trick Jesus with his words, try to find ways to stop him. The Sadducees, on this particular story, are trying to show that it doesn't make sense that there would be a resurrection. They bring up this law from Moses about how if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. They said, well, basically the Sadducees are saying, well, if there is a resurrection, as you say there is, then why would God give us this law about a man taking his brother's widow when it's clear that if that goes along and we give this rather far-fetched scenario in which seven brothers each are married to this woman. And they say, well, look, if there's a resurrection, then she ends up being married to all seven. How can that be? Well, there must not be a resurrection. They're trying to do a little mental gymnastics, trying to trick Jesus, not realizing that Jesus is the Son of God, and so you can't really just trick him. But they're trying it. But Jesus points out, no. It's not about the marriage. It's not about who's married to who. It's about being with God. It's the important thing to understand is that the joys of this world, whether it is having different things, or whether it is being in a marriage with your true love or whatever relationships with people, they're not the be-all, end-all. Marriage and other things that God gives us here on earth are meant to point towards the beauties of heaven. Marriage shows how, you know, we go to a wedding and we see the joy of the bride and groom. We see a happy marriage. We see the love between a man and his wife. We see that relationship. It's all pointing towards how in heaven we will be with our true love, God. And so marriage is not necessary in heaven because we have found our true love. We'll get to see our loved ones in heaven, but our focus will be on God. Jesus is trying to point out that, look, it's not whether who's married to who on this earth, or whether, you know, whether whoever is married now, it won't matter at the resurrection. There's more important things than these little minutiae that the Sadducees are trying to trick Jesus on. The important thing is getting to heaven. And so what that teaches us, it reminds us that there is that important relationship in heaven. Remind us that it's not about these things here on earth. They're fun. It's great. We can enjoy different things here on earth. But remember, they show something greater. That we are headed towards heaven. And so the joy with our true love, Jesus Christ. May we experience that joy. And so now take the time to prepare for that glorious time.